What is up, everyone? This episode of The Center Ring is brought to you by our friends over at Philly Esports. Philly Esports is a tournament organizer based out of the heart of Philadelphia, go figure, that organizes pop-up style esports events. Each event, they provide opportunities for gamers to play in professionally ran tournaments for cash prizes and help build their personal competitive brand with professional photography and interviews. It's true. I've seen it. As an organization, they empower competitive gamers to pursue their dreams in the industry of esports. Philly Esports' next event will be Saturday, October 26th at Drexel University in Philadelphia. If you are in the area, you better be there. TCR is telling you to go. To find out more info about Philly Esports and sign up for their next event, visit www.phillyesports.net or, better yet, follow them on Twitter or Instagram at Philly Esports. And you know what? They say or free advertisement. Just follow them on both. Easy enough. EQO, tell them what they're listening to.
Hey, this is EQO, and you're listening to The Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. This is episode 177, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, September 25th, 2019. The time, 6:42 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Or at least I think it's daylight. 29 years old. I'll figure it out eventually. That's right, we have two episodes this week. We're starting our two episodes a week. And we figured what better way to do it than our Overwatch League Finals preview. And that is just what we are going to do today. So if you haven't figured it out, yes, this will be the best episode ever. Be sure and follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, still under construction, but eventually we'll be back. We have a Discord. Go ahead and join the conversation. Be a part of it. You can find that on our Twitter as well. Before we get into the show, let's say hi. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. And as always, my best friend Anuj. What's up?
Seeing you twice in one week. It's a pleasure, dude.
I mean, who else would I rather see?
Nobody. Not even your wife. Not even your newborn.
Nah. You know what? I'll take the break from the newborn. He can be quite a handful. No one ever told me this. No, everyone like was like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. They sleep all day. Not mine. He is up all day and up all night. He's a workout, but it'll be worth it when he can cut the grass in like a month or two. Or at least that's what I tell myself. Well, but what better way, Anuj? You know, Philly Esports is sponsoring today's episode, and go figure, it's when we preview the Overwatch League Finals that will be held in Philadelphia. It's almost like we planned that out.
It really is seamless, isn't it? Couldn't be better.
It's like we're professionals or something, and we said, wait a minute. You guys want to sponsor the show for a few episodes? That's fine. But let's just wait, because we're going to be in Philadelphia. So, of course, this weekend is the Overwatch League 2019 season finals. You have Vancouver versus San Francisco. The two best teams all year long are facing off. What more can you ask for? It will be in Philadelphia. We've said it before. Yes, Anuj and I will be there to attend the finals. I fly in on Friday morning. I have media obligations to take care of, though. I think for like, I'd say late afternoon, early evening. I think I'm done around 6 p.m. But then who knows? You know, maybe I just hit it so well with Jeff or something and he asks me to hang out. But then Anuj comes in town Sunday morning right before the finals. You fly in because you are attending a wedding up in Boston, is it?
Providence. So I should be out in Rhode Island for my brother-in-law's wedding.
So you will have a busy weekend.
Yeah, we head out tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And then, yeah, I'll be joining you early, right before the event. So pray. I need everybody on here to pray for me that we do not have a delay, do not have luggage issues.
There cannot be any hiccups.
This is gonna go off smooth. It's gonna be great. I'm excited. Obviously, I didn't go with you last year, so this will be my first time attending the event. And yeah. I'm absolutely thrilled, man. I am super stoked. I mean, just going to a finals, I think, of any major esports is a you have that on the bucket list. I gotta check this off. So I'm pretty excited to go and see what it's all about.
Yeah, and yeah, so I went last year to New York. A little bummed that it's in the Northeast again, but you know what? As a show that's based out of Dallas, Texas, I'm welcoming the cold. Like, I keep looking at the weather thinking, oh boy, I think like the high tomorrow in Philly is like 78 or something. And I'm like, my body is ready. Like, I'm thinking though, like, I got to bring a jacket or something, because at night it's supposed to be like 50, 60 degrees. And for us, that's like 40 degrees different. Like, for those who don't know, like in Texas, the heat index was like 104 today. Like, it is still... It is hot. So I am gladly looking forward to taking a few days of retreat in the north. But it's going to be pretty chilly. I am looking forward to it. But yes, you are right. Like, New York was a lot of fun. They did a very good job, I felt, of making it a celebration of Overwatch. You know, Jeff was out there, of course, from the Overwatch team, from Blizzard. I think they made an announcement. I can't remember if they announced a hero or skins. I think he announced the All-Star skins, but that's because last year the All-Stars game was after the finals. So I wonder what they'll announce this year. I mean, I guess the anticipation is that there will always be an announcement, you know? Like,
probably be an update right before the match starts.
Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, we're gonna put the patch in right now. Like, Vancouver and San Francisco's on stage. Like, wait, what did he just say? We'll get into that in a moment, though, because for the last couple of weeks, I've had listeners ask, like, hey, when are you guys talking about the finals? When are you talking? Because, you know, we haven't talked a whole lot about the playoffs, even. Admittingly, so we had the Counter-Strike major, the Berlin major in between, like right when the finals started or the playoffs started. And like, for me personally, that takes precedent over final or just playoffs in general. Not to mention, and I think you'll pick up on this throughout this episode, my love and hate relationship with Overwatch League and just how they handle it. It makes it, for me personally, difficult to talk about. And I think you even see that, like, from the official league production. Like, there's just not a lot to talk about when every stage or... hell, when the playoffs are completely different from the entire season prior. Like, what do you talk about when there's a new hero, a new meta thrown in right when the playoffs start? You can't really compare something in the playoffs to stage one. They're two completely different games.
You don't get the same type of storyline buildup, right? Because you're not using, like you said, the whole season as a story going through. The story ends up becoming, well, this team was good in stage one and two because we had this meta. This team became good in stage three because this is how the game was. Like, that becomes the storyline and the narrative going forward. And now everyone's like, oh, you know, how is Vancouver going to do in this situation? Because they had a rough stage four because of the meta shift, right? And people didn't know what to expect. Now, obviously, they've proven again that they're dominant and they're in the finals for a reason.
Yeah, because even but then, like, their definition of a rough stage four would be like an outstanding stage four for most teams. But you're correct.
Rough in terms of how they had performed throughout the first three. Still finished with the best record and all that kind of stuff. But we're not getting storylines about the players. And the game is about the players, right? Just as much as the game is about how good the game is, the players are usually your storyline leading into an event. And
it would be different too if the meta was organic, right? Like, it's not like a MOBA where the meta can be a lot more organic with hero bans and picks. And I'm not saying Overwatch should have that, because there's just not that deep of a hero pool to do so. I know people have always toyed around with that idea. Overwatch is not at that point yet. Like, you need like 30 heroes. Yeah, like you need a massive hero pool. And honestly, at that point, I feel like Overwatch is just going to be the biggest cluster F out there. So that's not a solution. I'm not even hinting that that be the case. But you do have the professionals or the player base even creating a meta, because rather than like, man, this person is overpowered or this ability is ridiculous, they don't rely on Riot to immediately patch out a hero or even wait for a balance update. It just turns into a fact of, okay, we're going to ban him, right? And then once the new meta takes over, okay, well, now we got to ban these new heroes, right? And in between, it can kind of, it softens the blow of waiting for a balance update. Where with Overwatch, it's the exact opposite. There is no organic meta. Like, every time there's patch notes, you can almost, like, map out completely what the meta is going to be and what the pro teams are going to play. Because as much as I would like for it to be, and much as I have talked about it on the show, Overwatch is cookie cutter. Like, as much as I don't think it has to be a cookie cutter game, it's 100%. Monkey see, monkey do type of meta. And it's what we get all year long, which, like Anuj said, makes for a somewhat boring storyline. When it's like there wasn't like some mistake or anything like that, it was just like, well, it's Vancouver in first place all year long because, if we remember looking back at the meta, and I have notes for this, front and back notes, Anuj.
It's the first time I've seen you in notes.
Well, normally I type them all out, right? But with a baby in your hands, it's kind of difficult to do so. But, it's not the old pen and paper thing comes really handy when you only have one hand. Anyways, looking back at the meta for how this year went, stages 1-3 were obviously the GOAT meta. Everyone had an opinion on it. Me, I actually didn't hate it that much, right? Like, yeah, I guess you would have liked to see DPS take over a little more. But that's what we had. Blizzard took forever to try to figuring out what to do with it. I think they goofed up when they did two things when they only had to do one. All they really had to do was enforce the rule of 2-2-2, which they didn't do until stage 4.
They should have done that halfway through the year.
They should have done that halfway through the year and not try to balance something. Let's try 2-2-2 first, right? And then if heroes need tweaking, we can do that. But what they did was they tried patching certain heroes, buffing or nerfing certain heroes to help combat with GOATs, but then threw in 2-2-2 not that long after. So now you have all these heroes that were adjusted for the GOAT meta, but now the GOAT meta is completely dead because of 2-2-2. So it didn't make too much sense there. I thought stage 4 was not a mess, but it was the more intriguing side of it because obviously Vancouver dominated through stages 1-3, and why wouldn't they? Their former runaway team, that was the team name from Contenders, where they dominated the Korean scene. They had the most experience with GOATs meta coming from Contenders, so it would make sense that they would dominate stages 1-3. 2-2-2 comes out in stage 4. We see the Titans struggle a little bit. They went 5-2, was it, for stage 4? 5-2. That would make sense because they play 7 games. So they went 5-2, which again, for the Titans standard, is struggling, considering they lost to Washington and maybe Shanghai was a playoff stage.
And there was like a couple of like matches in there where they were a little bit closer than some of the blowout wins we had seen throughout the season, I feel.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, they only had a +7 map differential, right? Where if you look at other stages, stage 3, +14. Stage 2, +22. Stage 1, +18. So in every other stage, they had double digits.
They were dominant. I mean, like, that's pretty dominant with only 7 matches,
correct,
right?
Yeah, and then so for stage 4, you're looking at only a +7. Things were closer for them back then. So 2-2-2 comes out, stage 4. We had a glimpse of what everyone was hoping for. For a brief moment in time in this year's Overwatch League, we saw Widowmaker back. We saw DPS coming back into the the fray, saying, all right, here we go. We're going to see more headshots. This is what people want, right? We're getting back into this meta.
And then bam.
Playoffs start. They introduce Sigma into the game. And for whatever reason, Blizzard always likes doing this. They're like, wouldn't it be fun if right before the most important time of the season, we just completely turn the league upside down? So now you introduce Sigma, which then introduces the double shield meta with him and Orisa pretty much being the 100% tank pick, unless you're picking like a Hammond or something to get back to point or something like that. Usually you're running the double shield meta 100% of the time. In my opinion, give me goats. Like, I think the double shield meta is boring as hell to watch. It because then even like the DPS that you have are primarily Reaper and Doomfist. Like,
you've taken away the fun, you've taken away what appealed to people in the 2-2-2 meta, right? The things that appealed were the McCrees, seeing more of the Widows, like seeing more of these hit scan type DPS. Well, that went right out the window. I mean, you added Sigma, whose shield can block from any particular angle, right? So even your Pharahs and things of that sort, like they become a little bit more difficult to use in that situation. So yeah, we went to a meta that allowed DPS players to be involved, right? Because there really were none in the GOATS meta, to a meta where you just eliminated half of the DPS players that were once available. So once again, you get into this, it's kind of stale. Like that was the problem with the GOATS meta, is the game just started to feel repetitive and stale, and it was the same thing over and over.
It's almost like Blizzard was like, okay, how can we create GOATS with 2-2-2? Oh, I know. Let's add another shield that is super mobile, by the way. So,
I mean, the most mobile of any of the other
tanks, you know, for sure.
Tanks available, yeah.
And now what even irks me more is like today Blizzard revealed that it's now in the PTR, the test servers for Overwatch. But now it's like all these other heroes are getting buffed or nerfed to kind of combat the 2-2 or the double shield meta. And it's like, that's all fine and dandy, but what we're still getting in the finals is this boring ass 2-2-2, just throw bodies, you know, it doesn't seem as methodical to me as GOATS did, or, you know, it literally to me seems like controlled chaos in the sense of just you throw your Doomfist, you throw your Reaper in there, whatever DPS duo is better in that fight, that team's going to win, which seems somewhat standard, but I really feel like in this current meta, like supports aren't nearly as important because the heroes you have, I mean, look, you have two shields to play around, right? You have, Anna is completely useless in this meta because with shields out on the field, you're going to block out her healing. You have Reaper, who heals himself while hitting people. You have Doomfist, which gives himself enough armor to get away and get health. It's like you just, I'm not saying supports aren't like useless. Like obviously they still have a need, but they're just not what the importance were once before. Like before you had to kill the supports, right? Kill the squishies, get the healers, and then we'll worry about the fight. Well, now I feel like especially going into the finals with these two teams, with the Titans and Shock, it really is kill the other team's Doomfist, right? Kill Sinatra, kill Haskell, and then that's really when you'll start seeing these fights unravel. But for now, I you know, we'll see what happens. It's silly that they're adding a patch in now after the season goes. If you're looking at it from a competitive standpoint, I guess they still have a casual player base to worry about, but who knows what the hell the meta is going to be between now and next season.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think what we're going to end up seeing here is, again, just more of the same. Obviously, I think one of the bigger issues that you brought up earlier, and you said we wouldn't see this for a long time, is if they're going to have this style of gameplay, they need to have a much deeper character pool. And so with the limited character pool that they have, it's going to just be, these are the people that work in this particular meta, and all the good teams are going to use that. So I think a bigger character pool would help this situation, obviously, where you do see a little bit more variety, and it kind of opens up the playing field a little bit. But there is some good storylines here. I mean, we've talked a lot about the negative. There's some fantastic storylines coming up. This episode
was going to be a little bit of a soapbox rant mixed in with the finals preview, because this is, again, all season long, this has been building up inside of me, and like why Overwatch annoys me to talk about, right? But let's look at some of those storylines. So obviously the teams, Vancouver Titans, 25-3 versus the San Francisco Shock, 23-5. 8 combined total losses on the year. That is just as many wins as 4 of the teams, I believe. You have Toronto had 8 wins, Washington had 8 wins, Boston 8 wins, and Florida was 6.
What did our home team finish with here?
10-18 is what the Fuel had. So not a whole lot better. You know, they had that loss, 12-game losing streak, which doesn't help anything.
Didn't help.
But yep. It just goes to show the dominance that both of these teams had. I mean, really, all year long, it was going to be Titans, Shock, or New York in the finals. Like, I don't think that ever wavered. Like, it was going to have to take an upset for one of those three teams to not be in the finals.
And this is a positive for me here, because at least if we're, not that thrilled about the meta, we're going to see the two best teams throughout the season competing in the championship. Underdog stories are nice and all, but when you get to the finals, I do want to see the best go head to head.
That's kind of what happened like last year too, right? Like with when Philly made the finals, everyone was kind of like, huh, you kind of
would have been nice if New York had kind of found their way in.
You really kind of squeaked in, like, yeah, you were one of the better teams in the league, but not. No one thought like finals better, right? Yeah. So yes, you do have the two best teams. They both are coming out of the Pacific Division. All right. In fact, everything but two of the teams in the top 6 were out of the Pacific. So Pacific kind of were dominating on that side, if that means anything to anyone.
You know what their head-to-head was?
Their head-to-head, funny enough. Yes, I do. Hold on. Head-to-head, they played 4 times all year. That's including some stage playoffs sprinkled in there. Head-to-head, 2-2.
Did they play in stage 4?
They did, I believe. Let me look at Vancouver stage 4, if you don't mind, real quick. Because I know one of those wins came in a GOATS meta. So it was like, again, you kind of, who cares, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Shock defeated, yes, in stage 4, Shock defeated Vancouver in stage 4. But apart from that, the 3 others were prior. You had, GOATS meta, like we mentioned. So it's I really don't look at those. Like, I watched them prior just to kind of to see maybe I can watch something in these matches that will tell me something about these teams. But as I was watching it, I'm like, this is ridiculous, because you had like Sinatra was playing Zarya, and now he's on DPS.
If you listen to the first half of our segment just now, you'll realize this is the exact issue we're describing, is we don't have the ability to build a storyline from day 1 in this season. All that matters in this case is what happened in stage 4 versus them.
And even then, very little, because you didn't have Sigma in stage 4.
You didn't have Sigma.
It was a different meta.
Yeah. No, it was you're absolutely right. It's almost like it doesn't matter at all. They haven't played.
And that's my point, right? Like, I'm listening to some of these other podcast previews out there, like reading articles, and everyone's like, this was a rivalry of the season. Like, they're going ahead to head 2-2. This will decide who's the better team. And I'm like, no, this is going to decide the playoff champion. Like, that's my issue with this. Is like, this is not telling me, I mean, sure, whatever. It's telling me who's the best team in the league, but it's really telling me who's better in this current meta for the playoffs. Like, this isn't even a stage 4 meta anymore. Like, this is literally in the last month or so meta. So that's why, again, take everything that you have with this with a grain of salt, because like Anuj just said, like, you can't build a storyline off of this. Sinatra was the league's MVP. MVP of the season. 3/4 of the season, he played Zarya, a tank. He's a DPS main. And now you see him on Doomfist primarily. Like, okay.
What was Haskell playing throughout the year?
Before he
switched over to...
I believe you also saw him on Zarya, if I'm not mistaken. I could be lying to you on that. Don't quote me. But Haskell, though, is the league's rookie. of the year, which, you know, I also kind of consider MVP 2.0 just in Overwatch League, where you have so many rookies right now, right? Like the entire Vancouver roster was a rookie roster. So it's like, okay, you're rookie of the year. That doesn't mean like you were inexperienced or anything. Like you come from the best team that was in contenders that literally stepped into Overwatch League, and now you're playing in the finals. So
yeah, if you're rookie of the year on the number one rated team throughout the league and everybody on that team is a rookie, you're the MVP.
You're also the MVP.
You're also the MVP, correct.
You know, MVP for Overwatch was fan voted, so I don't really...
Was it really?
Yeah, MVP is fan voted. So
that deserves a segment.
I don't really think that counts as much either.
Was rookie of the year fan voted?
I have no idea. It probably maybe is. I don't know. I don't pay attention to the awards. As soon as I see fan voted anything, I'm like, okay, we'll see ya. I'm out of here.
So it's like a lot of esports awards.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, this is fan voted. Go figure. Okay. I don't really care then.
Interesting.
Yep. Both of these teams have plus 60 map differential. So not only are they the two best teams in the league, they were dominating performance-wise. You have the Shock with a plus 66, Vancouver with a plus 61. The next team after that was New York with like a plus 44 or something like that.
The Shock did drop to Atlanta, right? They lost to Atlanta in
the
quarters.
They did lose to Atlanta in the playoffs. These are all storylines that I'm going to tell you something, but then I'm going to say something right afterwards that makes you say, well, it kind of sounds like you just negated everything you just said. And I am aware of that because, yes, you would say, well, Vancouver must be the stronger team because they had the dominating performance in the playoffs, right? They had a straight winners winning. Well, the Shock lost to Atlanta. Keep in mind, they also were eliminated by a C9, right? Like, it was just a mental goof. I don't think, you know, maybe if you wanted to create a storyline, I could come out here and say like, oh, they were mental weakness, right? Like they're falling apart. But then they went on to have a golden losers run. They didn't drop a single map all of losers. And now they're in the grand finals. So how much of losing to Atlanta really matters? I don't think at all. You know, like you could almost argue the fact that maybe C9ing was the best thing that could have happened to them, because it kind of like woke them up like, oh, damn, like, how did we just let that happen? So, you know, maybe that wakes them up. Now, that being said, maybe they also have a New York treatment, right? Maybe they have a case of the NYXL like they did last year, where NYXL was so dominant, went into the playoffs and just kind of zoned out because they were like, hell, we just are rolling these teams left and right. Maybe they have that case going into the finals. I don't think so, but you just never know how these teams prep. I don't think the stage matters either. Like we've said, Vancouver Titans, you could be like, well, they're a full team of rookies, but they played on the biggest stage in contenders. They were the best Korean team in Overwatch, which is arguably a bigger scene than any other out there.
Yeah.
They stepped into the Overwatch League and obviously dominated. The stage doesn't matter, and I can promise you no one on either of these teams have played on a stage like what the finals will be anyways. Like, the Blizzard Arena pales in comparison to what they're going to be playing in Philadelphia. Like a fully sold out, I assume sold out arena. You know, the Blizzard
Arena.
Yeah, it
is. They said it's sold out. It's at the Wells Fargo Center. Now, I don't know how many... Do we know how many seats? I don't know how many seats are actually
available.
No, I know
for like New York, which same thing, is like it's a hockey stadium, right? That they kind of like set it up like a concert, so like they'll cut the back third off of it. I think that was like 11,000 people, I think, for New York. So I'm sure it's just about the same, 11,000-12,000 sold. Now, the difference for this year also, though, is keep in mind it's one day. Like last year, they spread it out, right? It was Saturday and Sunday, which kind of, in my opinion, sucked. I like the fact that it's one day. Just let the hype be in one day, you know? It's good for people traveling. It's good for the stream's sake. You're not stretching things out. It's just one day. Get hyped. This is it. But there's that. We already talked about the head-to-head, as I mentioned. They are 2-2 going in. Doesn't mean a whole lot, though. The only one that you can maybe say matters is San Francisco beating them in Stage 4. We do have, again, MVP Sinatra versus Rookie of the Year in Haxel. Oh, I think I said Haxel played Zarya. I lied. He played Brigitte. So even a less DPS of a hero, right? Like,
yeah.
So you have Sinatra, who, I mean, was a dominant Zarya. Obviously, part of it earned him the MVP of the league. But then Haxel played a support for 3/4 of the year, right? So again, going into here, you have a very small sample size to try to build up like a storyline going into it. Now, that's all not all for none. You know, you do have San Francisco, who dominated throughout the year, dare I say even more so than Vancouver. They were a part of every single stage finals. In Stage 1, they actually played Vancouver in the finals, where Vancouver won. Stage 2, rematch on Vancouver, San Francisco won. Then in Stage 3 was the Dragons, you know, unbelievable whatever. I think Slasher called it the biggest upset in esports history, which, you know, which is weird because Slasher normally keeps everything in perspective and doesn't blow things out of the water. That's very unlike him to try to make bold statements for retweets, but hey. And then obviously with Stage 4, there's no playoffs, which I'm going to make a quick rant here, but that's why stage playoffs are dumb, because if you don't have them for every stage, they consider this playoffs as in, like, you know, why have a stage playoffs when you have the actual playoffs? Well, why have stage playoffs at all then? But I'm gonna digress, because that's another 10-minute rant that I can go down to the format of why things are stupid with the Overwatch League when stage playoffs have mean nothing for the overall end results. They mean absolutely nothing. The fact that, like, it's almost like a mirrored image from last year, right? New York was in every stage playoffs, then they failed to make the finals.
But there's no way to really tie the two. Those stage playoffs serve only one purpose, and it's to keep the season interesting throughout, in the sense of, I know you don't really care for them, but I think there is a large base of Overwatch fans that probably enjoy
it. Standpoint, yes.
That's it,
but,
yeah.
But don't come
but that's
at
all
me
that's for.
With a fun fact of like, well, the Shock were in every stage playoffs. Great. Like, if they lose Sunday, ask them how much they care. Ask them how much they care that they were in the stage playoffs, because it probably won't be at all. Stage 4, Shock went 7-0. They lost to Atlanta 4-3 in winners, as we mentioned, kind of shooting themselves in the foot with a Cloud9, but they went on to have that perfect loser's run. I think if you're looking at keys for the Shock, they need to shut down Haxel of, you know, on Vancouver, because and I kind of compared them both to the New, because they played New York. Both of them played New York in the playoffs. Now, Vancouver had a little bit more of a tough time. They took it all the way to a Game 7 in order to eliminate them, where San Francisco just 4-0'd them. Some close maps, but overall it was a 4-0. Again, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. New York, to me, kind of is a little bit mentally weaker than other teams. When they lose, they seem to have a slower rebound or a rougher rebound. So maybe they were a little beat up when they got to San Francisco, right? Like, they were riding high in the winner's bracket, went down to losers, and then all of a sudden, you mean now we got to play
the
number 2?
Lost the momentum going in.
Like, you just lost to the number 1 team. Now you got to play the number 2 team in losers. Like,
well, yikes. Now New York came in as the number 2 seed, right? And then San Francisco was the 3 seed.
Overall, let me look. I think overall. No. Well, I'm looking at overall rankings. You are correct. Okay. New York went in as the number 2 seed, but that's only because they're in the Atlantic division.
Oh, I got you.
So okay, the winner of the division, you know, like,
we'll take 1-1.
Yeah. It's not like the NFL. Like, the NFL, you have both conferences that meet up, like the conference champions meet up to play off.
It's just the initial seeding.
This is the initial seeding, but then it can all get mixed up in the long run. So I think you take down Haxel, you take down his Doomfist, and that goes both ways, right? You take out Sinatra, take out that Doomfist. That will calm the fight down. I think Doomfist right now, and these two are the best the best two Doomfists in the world, in my opinion. They create the chaos, right? One punch can shoot one of your players way out of the team fight, whether you kill them or not with it. Or like they're out of the team fight at that moment for maybe like a second or two, but that's all you need in Overwatch to make the difference. Shut down Haxel. I also think, though, where Vancouver might be a little bit better than the Shock is with their tanks. If you separate Tizzy from the DPS, he plays so well with the DPS. If you separate him on Orisa, I think it will be easier for... I think that's the keys for the Shock. On the flip side, for the Titans, like I said, Sinatra just needs to die early. Like, he dives in, you dive him. Like, punish those early dives. Both of these teams play so aggressive compared to any other team in the league, but more especially San Francisco plays super aggressive. If Vancouver can find a way to punish that, you know, Striker on Reaper, I'm not saying he makes dumb plays, but he plays aggressive. If you can punish that, if you can make him make a mistake by teleporting too far into the fight as Reaper, hit him before he gets to his ulti, that can sway those fights down. I think that will be the difference between winning and losing these finals. Not the support, not so much the tank play, and it's not even so much like which DPS pairing is worse. It's which team can make the DPS, their opposing DPS pairing, less effective. That's who's going to win the finals.
So basically kill the MVP of the league or kill the MVP of the best team.
Right, you got this. You're either killing the rookie of the year or killing the MVP. Whoever can do that. I think control will also play a big part of it. Both of these teams dominate on the control side, and just historically with Overwatch, if you can win the control maps, you have a better chance of winning it all. So I think my ultimate prediction, I've been riding the Vancouver Titans all year. I'm going to stay with that. I do think it will go to a game seven. I think Vancouver wins 4-3. And I really think that's just because I think you're going to see the DPS from the Shock maybe get caught in a little bit more of mistakes. I think they're just going to, they're more aggressive, and I think that might come back to bite them. But obviously, you're talking about the number one, two teams in the league, so none of that can mean anything, and Shock could easily come and win, but I think my prediction, if you have to make me make one, will be the Titans.
I'm on the flip side. I don't have much of a reason. I don't have much reasoning behind it. The playstyle, the aggression appeals to me for what the Shock do. I'm honestly a fan of the two DPS in the sense of not playing Doomfist as much, but watching him a lot. And I also really enjoy playing Reaper. So I'm excited to see them at least involved if it's going to happen. So there's two players that I enjoy. I hope the aggression works out for them. I love to see that. I think they're also playing really well going into the finals. And yeah, with the only info we kind of semi have with the stage four, at least in the 2-2-2 meta, we saw San Francisco get that win. You know, also the 7-0 in stage four, like they were just playing really well. I know people are going to look at the loss to Atlanta, but they came out almost stronger after that. And so I just think they're a juggernaut right now. It definitely, in my mind, should go to a map seven.
I mean, like we'll I said, see. I can't really argue. Everything you said also sounds perfectly fine to me, right? Like this, regardless, I think what you're going to find is a really, really entertaining finals. Like, I don't think this is going to be a repeat of last year where it was just kind of non-eventful and London kind of just always was going to win. I think you're going to have a pretty entertaining finals to have there. Real quick, because I only have like 5 more minutes because I have another Overwatch League match, even though the one on Sunday went oh so well, Anuj. Oh so fun. Things we're looking forward to. We will be there over the weekend. So if you're going to be there, be sure and hit us up on Twitter at the Center Ring, or you can hit our own personal Twitters up if you want to only hang out with me and not Anuj because you're racist. Hey, I won't judge. That's okay. Let us know if you're local. We need to find the best Philly cheesesteak. We are going to have Phillies in Philly if it's the last thing I do. I will delay my flight to get a Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia. It's happening.
We have a couple of names that we've heard for it. I think like Jim's is one. There's a couple. So we want to know which one is the best one to go to.
We're staying at the Doubletree downtown. And I think like, according to the map, I haven't looked, but the one, the picture that you sent me, Anuj, I swear it's like right around the corner.
No, that's probably, we'll find our way to one either way.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely be there.
We're going to smash some food for sure. Other than that, like I said, Saturday for me is pretty much open. So if you want to chill or if you got suggestions on what can do, I like history. I'm a nerd, so I'm going to go probably see the Liberty Bell because
I think
not?
The Benjamin Franklin Museum is there. That would be badass.
And I think that's like right down the street as well. So
wait, I think I'm pretty
sure
it's there.
Is that where the Liberty Bell is at?
The Liberty Bell's in Philly as well.
Right. But is it? Is that in a museum?
Oh, I don't know if they're...
Can I, like, just...
I have no idea. I know there's, like, a Ben Franklin Museum over there, though.
All right. We'll have to do some research here. But either way, really looking forward to going. Looking forward to the city. It's going to be a fun, fun time. But that's that. Let's get into some e-news real quick. Some CSGO roster updates here, and we'll probably discuss this more in the next coming episodes. But you have Cold may or may not be signing with FaZe. Decay mentioned it. He didn't confirm it, nor did he deny it. But also don't mention that he said it. It's somewhere on the fence. But we've also heard multiple reports that like it was like the pen was about to hit the paper and then all of a sudden it fell through. So who knows? We'll see.
Until we get that though, we have some other big ones here.
We
got NRG. This is the biggest one to me. I mean, NRG basically just got bought out in terms of their CSGO roster, and these guys are moving over to Evil Geniuses. Is that correct? That's what we're hearing?
That is, from what I'm hearing happening, I guess right now it's still considered a rumor.
But the teams that they were competing with in terms of not... We didn't even know Evil Geniuses was in the mix for a big team, right? Complexity.
I mean, I knew that they wanted to come back. But,
well, yeah, Complexity,
not,
100
not
Thieves,
NRG.
Immortals. Like, there's so many big orgs out there looking for a top tier team. They just got the number 14.
It's a fallout that I didn't think was going to happen from all these Call of Duty squads not staying in Call of Duty. I guess they have a lot of extra money now. And so they're like, all right.
Join one of the biggest esports. One quick fact on them. I know we got to do this quick. EG was the team that was supposed to sign the old IBP roster with Hiko, you know, Skadoodle, Daze, Swag, AZK. They were in the process of signing them from IBP at the time. And then the ban happened. C9 or Skadoodle then went to C9. And the rest is history from there. But they were originally trying to get into CS back then. So to come back with a bang like that, fantastic. Other big roster news, we have Nexa and Hunter. They are going to be joining G2. Basically, this is just the replacements now for Shox and Lucky. Freakazoid signing over with E-United. This is only cool because his brother Cooper is on the team. If y'all remember, they played together in Ghost Gaming. Cooper screwed them and left right before, I believe, the playoffs started.
At the Mountain Dew League playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think it was the MDL playoffs. He basically, pieced out for E-United. So now Freakazoid going over there. Fantastic. This happened a couple weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago. We didn't mention it. KNG signing with MIBR. He's the kill yourself guy. That's pretty much what he's known for. Or I'll kill you or whatever he said. But he is a fantastic offer.
What
so if he comes
for.
In, if he comes in, plays well, they have a chance. He is a good player. So this could really be big for him. One last thing I want to mention on the CSGO roster news. Wardell announced that he is now a free agent. He's no longer benched on the Ghost Gaming roster who dropped their CSGO team. They had him under a huge long-term three-year contract. So he is available. He's a full free agent. Basin Lake, somebody signed this guy, build a roster with him on it. He's a fantastic player.
We talked about it last week, but it's been confirmed, at least for this one. Zuma is going to the New York City franchise for the Call of Duty League. And in other esports news, Nero defeated MKLeo after MKLeo reset the bracket at main stage for Smash Ultimate. And for Melee, HBox defeated Axe in the finals, beating him in three straight sets. This finally kicked
HBox
up some...
HBox won a tournament?
No. He's been on a bit of a streak. He's been rusty, you know? a bit of a drought, I guess. But no, yes. HBox won again, just completely dominating the 2019 calendar year. This is finally, though, starting to kick up a little rumbles in the community I've seen on Twitter, where maybe there should be some rules set for Puff users. Maybe some airtime rules, maybe some, you know, so that way they can't just float around or anything like that. Yeah. So
22 years after the game is released, it's, you know, let's start throwing some nerfs in there for a game we can't do anything about. Move on to Ultimate, boys. Like, let's go. Let's just make this a game. And, like,
it has been,
let's do it.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see.
How can you make a change to a game that's so old that you can't do any physical updates?
I mean, it's all just the general gentleman's agreement and general rules for tournaments that they can do. I mean, they do it for Ice Climbers and things like that. It's not unheard of in Melee, but it is kind of crazy now where it's just like, you know, he's been using Puff for so long.
Can
and it's
you
really
imagine
just now happening.
He's banned all of a sudden? Like, no.
It's not going to be banned, but it is. It does, you know. I don't blame them for doing it, right? Like, I've often said this, so part of the issue, too, though, is, like, how many people can you find to practice against that play Puff as well as HBox? Literally no one. How many people can he find to practice up against, like, a Fox or a Falco or a Marth user?
A million.
I mean, yeah, throw a ball in a crowd at a Smash tournament, and someone who catches that could practice against you. Like, it's... I do think that plays some factor into it. But also, I mean, go watch him. He also just floats around and times out people. And, you know, it's also just the nature of the beast. So, either way, that's something that might happen.
ESL New York, boys and girls, this weekend. That's kicking off. Again, a lot of fun storylines there. We'll get into that next week in one of the two episodes that we are doing. So, remember, Sunday night and Wednesday night, we will be live on Twitch, and then those will be posted, you know, again later at night. Yeah. You can catch them
new episodes Mondays, Thursdays. We record them the previous nights. So, but that is the new schedule. So Mondays and Thursdays, new episodes. So tell your friends and loved ones, I guess whoever else. But that will do it for this episode of The Central Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 177, it's done, it's in the books. I appreciate you for listening, or if you skipped around, I love you all the same. Like Anuj mentioned, we will be back next week. We will talk about our adventures in Philadelphia. We'll recap the Overwatch League finals. Say what we wish for the next year for Overwatch League Season 3. Kind of what we hope to see changed or anything like that, because I'm sure there's a list up of things to get to. ESL New York, as mentioned. But that will be all next week. For now, again, let us know if you're in Philly and you want to meet up at the Center Ring. We will definitely be there and be available. Other than that, that does it for us. I'm Tim for Anuj. We'll see ya. And once again, this episode was brought to you by Philly Esports, a tournament organizer based out of the heart of Philadelphia that organizes pop-up style esports events. Each event, they provide opportunities for gamers to play in professionally ran tournaments for cash prizes and to help build their personal competitive brand with professional photography and interviews. As an organization, they empower competitive gamers to pursue their dreams in the industry of esports. Philly Esports' next event will be on Saturday, October 26, 2019, at Drexel University in Philadelphia. So if you're in the area, be sure and check them out. Maybe even ask if they can use some volunteer work. Easy way to put on your esports resume. To find out more about Philly Esports and to sign up for their next events, visit phillyesports.net and be sure and follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Philly Esports.